Welcome to tonight's meeting. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
Present and accounted for. Do I have a motion to either modify or adopt the agenda as presented? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve as presented.
Seconded by Trustee Dennis. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Before we get into announcements, I see we have some new visitors to our Village Board meeting. We have some Boy Scouts. Welcome. Is there something that you're here specifically for, or are you bored?
No. These are Boy Scouts from Troop 1139, which is housed over at Resurrection Catholic School. They're working on a citizenship in the community merit badge, and one of the requirements was to visit a local government meeting and see how it functions.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Any of you are interested afterwards, they might want to ask a few questions after the meeting's over. Yes.
I think we would be happy to do that. Thanks. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for coming. Okay, announcements. Any announcements from staff? Mr. Berndt.
You have it on your desk. The informational letter that we mailed out to residents on East St. Joseph and West Longview Avenue at last week's committee meeting, Public Works Committee meeting, we discussed having an informational meeting, an information release to residents on those two streets as part of next year's projects, because those two streets have the potential for adding sidewalks to one side of the street. So this is what was mailed out to those residents on those streets. It's posted on the website. It encourages the residents to offer comments, their thoughts on the concept of providing sidewalk and or trail. And we'll have an informational meeting December 6th before the board meeting to kind of go over the ideas and the options. And then from there, it'll come back to committee and board to make a decision on actual implementation of one or both or none of those sidewalks and trails.
Okay, thank you. Any announcements from the board? Hearing none.
Other than the budget hearing.
Okay. The budget hearing is going to be held on Tuesday, November 29th at 6:30 p.m. right here at Village Hall. That's the meeting where we talk about the monies that have been allocated to the village and how we're going to spend them. So if you'd like to come to that, November 29th, guys. Thank you. Okay, and at this point, I'd just like to ask Jason to come up and give us a real brief rundown on a very neat activity that took place here in Alloway this past week.
Well, I'd like to give a big thank you to a nonprofit organization that helped out Alloway here this past Saturday. Rebuilding Together was contacted about a situation we had with a resident. She's pretty attached to an outdoor fence of hers. She was doing everything in her power to try to keep it up, but it wasn't quite up to code. So Rebuilding Together was contacted, interviewed the lady, and brought it to their board of directors, and it was approved for this past Saturday to help reinforce her fence and everything. They responded with about, at the most, probably about 15 volunteers at a time, where they dug holes, put in new treated posts, and reinforced the fence for the lady. And it was a very big fence, probably a half-acre lot. So it was quite a big project. And Mike Smiley and his crew did a fantastic job. Probably bought that fence another 10 to 15 years. So I'd just like to get that on the record, that rebuilding together. We put out a little letter, thank you letter here today with the village website and kind of the email list here. But yeah, just like to get on record, rebuilding together. If anyone can, you know, look up on, they got a website and everything else. If anyone has those construction skills and can volunteer, it's a great group to look into.
Very good. Thank you very much. And thanks for your creative thinking and getting them involved. It's wonderful to see what can happen when a community comes together. Instead of issuing citations because someone's fence is falling down, we come together as community to help build it. And I thought that was very neat. So thank you very much, Jason, and thank you to Rebuilding Together. Okay, any other announcements? Hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item number 4, which is public appearances. Public appearance section of the meeting is when anyone from the public would like to get up and speak to the board about anything that is not on this evening's agenda. So, do I have anyone from the audience interested in sharing anything with the board this evening?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I have an ongoing concern that the village is not enforcing its zoning code and is giving people waivers and variances under the guise of the planned development district process, and that's not allowed. The village attorney helps draft those documents, so he's the wrong person to evaluate whether the village is actually following the law. I'm asking that the village contact the Wisconsin Attorney General and have them look at the village plan development district process and see if we've been granting variances and rezoning properties in a de facto manner against in violation of Wisconsin law. And I'm happy to talk to Wisconsin district attorney, but I'm counting on somebody on this board to stand up and contact him first. Thank you.
Do you have a quick question? Have you contacted them?
I have not contacted the Wisconsin.
I would welcome you to do that. If that's what you wish to do, please do it. Because nobody on this board feels that any wrongdoing has been done by consulting with our village attorney. If you feel it's necessary, I'm not going to validate your complaint by making that call for you. Feel free.
Thank you. The places that it came up at the Plan Commission has now asked the zoning administrator to evaluate which properties are not in compliance with the zoning code. They had a request from a gentleman who was having a hard time getting a loan on a property, and he asked that his property be rezoned residential from commercial, and they didn't approve it, they didn't disapprove it, they didn't know where to go with it. He then told me that there was an additional fee for him to be evaluated. So my feeling is that if the village is going to go against its own master plan, comprehensive plan, and start rezoning commercial property as residential, they should do it for everyone, not just a handful of their own favorite projects. And if you're going to be doing planned development districts, there should be sidewalks included in those projects for the handicapped, and you're not allowed to give waivers without telling the public why you're giving waivers. So the project that is currently under construction, where you gave them a variance and a sidewalk waiver, and you rezoned the property against the village ordinance, is the new apartment complex on St. Joseph and Riverside Drive, which is State Highway 57. Also, on the Mayflower Greenhouse Plan Development District, you rezoned part of that property residential without going through the proper procedure. And on the Webster Avenue Village Hall site, There were plans until it just fell apart this week, last week, to give a de facto rezoning of that project as a planned development district and make that residential instead of commercial. So those are just three easy projects to look at, and the village attorney is fully aware of those, and he's not doing anything about it, so that's where you need some outside counsel.
Thanks,
Thank
Jim.
You.
Would anyone else from the audience like to speak tonight? Mr. Matuzin, come on up.
Should I have a statement regarding item 61? Wait until I get to that, then you'll open it up so I can speak at that time, or should I do it
yes,
now?
Yes, please. We'll do it. We'll do it when it comes up.
Good. I'll be back.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak about anything that's not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5, correspondence regarding a request from a resident at 2336 Serenade Lane for reimbursement of storm sewer lateral. Mr. Lang, would you like to fill us in?
Yes, I did receive this correspondence after a discussion I had with Mr. Bauer, and I did invite him tonight, so hopefully he can shed a little more insight on to what the issue was and what he's asking for. So I don't know, Mr. Bauer, if you're willing to talk to the board. It will certainly help.
I've never been to a village board meeting. I'm very nervous. So.
We don't bite, John. But if you don't want to, you don't have to.
Otherwise, what? Certainly we can take the item and add it to a public works committee meeting, and then eventually we'll come back to the village board. But certainly wanted to bring it to the attention. Mr. Bauer is referring to is he had his storm sewer lateral. Second time in 7 years, part of it had to be replaced. And this time the second half was either the roadway into the street.
If you want, I can go up and talk about
that. That would be very helpful if you didn't mind.
Yeah, if it's okay with the board, we'll suspend the rules and invite Mr. Browers up. Come on up, sir. And if you would just be kind enough to state your name and address for
sure.
The record.
Thanks. John Bowers, 2336 Serenade Lane. This is the second time that I've had to have the storm lateral repaired. About 7.5 years ago, I had it repaired because of root ball from the tree, which is actually the village's tree, which is on the village right away, but it's on my property. I had it fixed, like I said, 7.5 years ago. At that time, it cost me about $350. It was just a small project at that time, so I took care of it myself. Well, the same problem came up with the root ball again, and so I had the line televised from the side of my house where a sump pump comes out all the way to the storm sewer. Okay. And they found that there was a 12-foot section that the water was just sitting in there, plus the fact that there was another root ball in there. So I got three estimates on getting it repaired because I was tired of having to stick money into the ground. So I wanted it done right this time, and so I replaced the complete line. My lawn is all tore up right now. I'm going to have that replaced or fixed in the spring. But it cost me $1,400 to get this situation taken care of. I feel that this job was a lot better job than the first guy that did it, and there shouldn't be any more problems with it. But I don't feel that it's my responsibility to pay for the complete cost, not only of what I've spent already, but what I'm going to have to spend in the spring. So I'm just looking for some assistance from the village to get reimbursed somehow for some of the cost.
Okay. And your letter said that you were hoping for a 50-50 split on that?
Well, I didn't say 50-50.
Oh, okay.
I just
that's what I read into it. Okay.
I would like to get... I mean, a 50-50 I would be happy with, but for me to have to stick $1,400 this year plus the $350 I spent 7 years ago plus what I'm going to have to spend on my lawn, I mean, I take pride in my house. This is my second house that I've had in the village of Alloway. I spend a lot of money on redoing my house. So I take pride in my house, and I just feel that I shouldn't have to spend all this money for the stormwater.
Okay, great. And you put out a few fires in your day.
I did.
Thank you for your service.
I spent 25 years with the village on the fire department. Donnie can vouch for me. Donnie Donkey.
Thanks for your service. Any questions for Mr. Bowers? Well, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion on this item?
No.
No? Oh, it's just correspondence. Okay. So we can just direct it back to the Public Works Committee to review and then bring back any recommendations to the board, if need be. Okay. Okay, agenda item six under old business, action regarding community sign design. Mr. Clark. Mr. Clark is our director of parks here in Illinois. Should we have the light? Oh, never mind.
Good evening. This item we've been working on for the community for better part of the year, trying to make a determination on community signage, which would be, you know, village entryway signs, wayfinding signs, park signs, and it's been two committee, Park and Rec Committee, as well as here at the board a couple of times. So Trevor and I have been working on this project, and we've taken all the comments from the committees and the boards and taken them to some sign manufacturers that have brought back some designs for us, final designs, and some costs. So I wanted to bring that to the village board. Also, questions had been asked about numbers that we were looking at and overall costs. So I tried to include those in your packet as well. One thing I did add, put by your seats, there was an updated map. In the packet, the map got cut off, so I was able to give you a full version of that map. But I wanted to go through a quick PowerPoint here, which is in your packet, just to give you an idea of the designs that we received, as well as the design that the Park and Rec Committee had picked. They had some requests for tweaking. We received those updated looks, which will reflect here in the PowerPoint as well. So what we're looking for from the board tonight is direction and hopefully a selection of a design that they like that we can move forward with and start to incorporate some of this, you know, within the next year. So.
Great.
So what we're looking at here are a couple of versions of signs that can be utilized as park entryway signs or community entry signs. And these incorporated some of the design aspects that we had talked about previously with regards to the stone, the monument type signs with a stone based look and that. So this is one look. Here's another look. That's more of that community entryway sign. Here's one, you know, has the next several have a common verbiage on them with different monuments. These monument signs are kind of, I guess you would say that they're stock type of monuments that then they can put the signage on too. This model here is the model that the Park and Rec Committee had selected that they liked the most out of the different versions. So, and as you can see, one thing originally. This just had the swirly on it, but they requested that it would have the verbiage of alloy in there as well. And then, you know, these all have that that little park identifier along with them as well.
Chris?
Yes.
Where it says Alloy Optimists, is that sponsorship for the signs or?
No. Okay. That is actually what that location, that's the name of that park. It's Alloy Optimist Kayakers Point. It's Optimist. He put one too many S's on there. But so there's not sponsorship on these.
Okay.
Now, these are examples of some wayfinding signs. These are the type of signs that we're going to see along the roadways that will more directional type signage to get people around the community to various public locations, whether that be our community center, village hall, you know, parks, things like that. So here's a couple of options, option A, option B. In looking at option A, as I explained to the Park and Rec Committee, might not be as feasible because of being along roadways. We need to make sure of visibility plus, you know, they have to be breakaway for, you know, if a vehicle were to run into them. So out of these designs and the next one, the Parks Committee liked option B the most as far as a type of look with that more singular black pole mounting. So, and this is would be option C. It's another version of a type of look that could go along with that. With all of these, we anticipate our in-house staff to save costs. Our in-house staff to be able to install most if not all of these signs. So,
so the signs or the costs that you have in your packet, are those just to create, develop the signs or make the
that
signs?
Is correct. That is not installation. These next slides will show the costs of those individual signs, and that is just cost of the signage, not installations. Okay. So the various costs that are associated with these types of signs and the materials involved. These first ones, $5,100. The next ones, because of the larger component of the stone look, a little more expensive. The one that the Park and Rec Committee had picked at $5,700.
Chris, what's the rest of that made out of? That blue, that light blue area.
The grayish area around here, that is a very dense foam material that is precast. It's a precast type of material. So I believe, if I recall, these are manufactured in another state, like North Dakota. But they're a high density foam type of material.
What's the life expectancy?
We anticipate that they would last well over 20 years.
Chris, it's like the eat this material that you see on buildings, on inside buildings. To give a reference, I should.
Okay, what is EFIS material?
Like stucco?
For those of us that aren't
like
building.
Like stucco.
Sort of like a stucco.
Okay.
You didn't have a whole front of your building.
Thank you.
Thank you, Trevor. Wayfinding signs, then, the costs on those, $3,100 for option A, about $2,350 for option B, and then this option, a lot less expensive. You know, the materials are all the same. We two different sign manufacturers. Trevor and I really haven't understood why there's a large difference like that. Those would be the costs associated that we've received quotes for on the various types of signs.
Just out of interest, what didn't you like about option C?
Yeah.
What didn't I like?
Or the group.
Mr. Atwood, would you like to... And this is a little bit different than what you had seen.
Yeah, I can tell the slight
variation.
Because
this isn't the decorated one.
Mm-hmm. I think durability was one of the factors, wasn't it? Because that's more of a cloth material?
No, it's the same. It was the same type of material. The signage itself was the same type of material.
On option B that we picked, that 2340, I thought in our original Park and Recs meeting we had talked that included installation.
This has been updated to take the installation out.
Oh, that's been updated
correct.
To take it out.
Correct. The installation on this was not that much. It was less than $1,000.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you. Chris, how overwhelming was the choice towards Model 10?
Of the committee members that were in attendance, it was unanimous.
Okay.
I believe we had four in attendance that evening, and it was unanimous. So.
Can you give me any reason, any of their rationale, why they thought Model 10? A lot of it is just, preference, personal preference.
And I think that's what it was. It was more personal preference on the look of the sign, the shape, and that the price as well. It was kind of on the lower end of the price scale. What I have up here on the screen now is a map of the village, of the various locations that you have in your packet, of what we have determined would be locations for park entry signs, village entry signs. Village entry signs are in the blue rectangle. Park entry signs are the green circles. And then the wayfinding locations would be the red star. Areas. So, to give you an idea of locations throughout the community where those would be, as well as, numbers that we'd be looking at. And along with that in your packet, there's three different spreadsheets that explain that further as far as those locations. And then what we would anticipate are some of the costs with utilizing the numbers coming from the Park and Rec Committee, what they had chosen as a sign design, these prices come off of there. So just to give the board an idea of big picture, if we're going to do it all over a long time period, especially with the park signs, we'd be looking at an 18 to 20 year time period. But overall, that gives you an idea of what that bottom line number would be for costs, as well as what we have anticipated to use as funding sources. Some of these signs would be in the tax increment district, so we could use TIF funding, and then others can utilize either some of the funding from the stadium tax refund, as the board had mentioned, or our park improvement fund to do some signage as well. So
all in all, it's about $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, park signs alone are about $102,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's 18 of those.
That's right. You didn't have a set.
Community wayfinding signs is about $28,000. Village entry signs is about $45,000, and then the Alloway Community Center sign, and that's just a very conservative estimate. We put $25,000 down for that, but with the anticipation of when that would be done, we could potentially install an electronic reader board type of sign at that location, being on a main thoroughfare.
that the village could then utilize and put messaging on that or whatnot. So I believe, Trevor, you had mentioned that a local entity just did a reader board sign. How much was that?
Right, a recent permit bid we approved was for $34,000.
Chris, you mentioned earlier that I think it was the Optimist sign that's not a sponsorship or whatever. Was there any thought given to that on any of the signs that you could do offer sponsorship for cost sharing? I'm not sure how tacky that would be.
Correct. We have not done that. That would be my fear, though, is that then you wouldn't have that continuity of signage throughout the community. Everyone would be a little different.
Unless you made a standard plaque of some kind. I don't know if communities do that or not, but it's a thought.
You know, and then we would also have to look at our sign codes to see the viability of doing it, you know, off-site advertising, things like that as well. But, you know, I think that it's an idea to look at if the board so wishes. But, you know, I know one thing that the board wants, has been looking at is that branding of the community, making sure that, you know, we're having that same look throughout the community so that as people enter, they know that they're in the village of Alloway. They're not in De Pere. They're not in Green Bay. So.
And are the park entrance signs the same as Model B or Model 10?
Correct.
Okay.
Chris, if I could throw this suggestion in terms of when we're putting the Village of Alloway wording, as we make sure that we always include the yellow, green, and blue logo, as well as the wording historically progressive. I think that should be included on all the signs in terms of the continuity, having the village motto as well as that logo on everything.
Okay.
Because I saw some of the examples had it, some of them didn't. I didn't know if that's some, you know, obviously until the final design gets proofed,
exactly,
we can change it. But that's my suggestion, is to make sure that all three of those elements are included on each sign.
Okay. Yeah, because I know some of them we did not include the historically progressive,
and that's
as
just
part of that.
My opinion. We'll see what the rest of the board thinks about that.
Other questions or thoughts?
I see that the village entry signs are on Riverside and on Webster. Was there any thought given to the same for Libel, or was it due to traffic?
Trevor and I had thrown around an idea for Libel, and we don't know if it would be feasible. One location on the north end here with a railroad trestle, is there a potential to utilize that? Work with the railroad and put a sign on the trestle. You know, paint the same thing and put it on that location. But in looking at this, we did not anticipate putting the monument signs at those locations on Libel at this time. And we did, along with that, we did include two locations at 172 in the hopes that could be done. And as you well know, working with the DOT, you know, there's rules that we would have to abide by and work with them. So, and those might not be feasible as well, but we would sure try.
How many do you have an idea of what signs you would do next year?
With regards to park signs, I would be looking at Kayakers Point, because we do not have a sign at that location, and Broadview Soccer Complex, because we don't have a sign there. And then in 2018, we're anticipating reconstructing the entrance to Green Isle Park. So at that point, next year, so then the following year, or in conjunction with that, we try to replace that sign so that whole entryway would be done. As far as wayfinding signage and entryway signs, utilizing our funding
If we were limited, we would definitely start to look north of 172 and, you know, in this corridor, the TIF area, and that, and then make sure we coordinate with any construction projects so that we're not installing if we're going to be doing construction within a few years. We'll make sure that we coordinate that as well.
Okay, so you would try to do as much of this right away as possible.
As much as we could that would be feasible and that our funds would allow for. You know, and we had, and I had mentioned this one in the last couple of years in our budget meetings, the park signs, we're looking to only do one a year so that we can spread those out and we're not paying for them all at once. And that, so we're looking at more of a 15 to 20 year plan on those.
Regarding, oh, I'm sorry, go on.
Just to clarify, if you go with the option that the park committee picked for the parks, is that the same that would be for the entry? Or are you thinking the other design for the entry?
Would not have to be the same. I would leave that up to the board to decide. But I think if you were to pick a different design, as long as it has the same kind of look to it, you know, then they would, you know, more or less, you know, mirror each other or be, you know, the same family of design, if that makes sense.
This is somewhat of a digression, and it's not specific to the sign, but you put a beautiful sign up. Is there going to be any additional work that will be done down at the Kayakers Point to improve the actual bulkhead or increase egress of it?
Yes, in the future there is plans to do that, including a launch of some sort and dock. And we'll be looking at some grant funding to try to fund that project and in the future try to work with Heritage Hill and Brown County Parks with some other facilities in that location.
And in the future being what kind of time?
Within 10 years for sure, and potentially within 5 years on that, on the kayak launch and dock.
Regarding your funding sources, the funding that you have allocated to the stadium tax refund comes out to like $55,800.
You are correct.
And I don't believe that's the number we came up with.
I don't believe that is either. I believe we have determined 26,000 at this point in time.
Okay.
Is what Clara had determined. So, but what we anticipate doing is, you know, doing as much as we can with that funding source.
Okay.
And then you know, looking elsewhere in the future for other funding mechanisms to try to do that. So, and you know, with the possibility that there might be other dollars out there in the future.
So. Okay. In case we change our mind. Okay, so you're looking for an action from the board on sign design?
Correct. Yeah, we'd like to get moving forward with this, you know, and get a final done.
Okay.
So that we can, you know, we're probably pushing it for this year, but at least so that way in the spring we can start installing signage around the community. So, any other questions?
With the idea of going with the Kayakers Point sign first for the 2016 date, we have $5,700 still allocated for 2016, which we could spend and carry over to 17?
That is correct. That is in our park improvement fund. So that can carry over.
And then we've also set aside the $5,700 in 2017.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions for Chris? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So I have a motion on this item.
Should we open up to anybody who wishes to talk about this topic?
Why don't we...
I asked for that.
You'll get it.
Before
you'll get it, sir.
Before you act on it, please.
Come on up.
Massachusetts, 1680 South Coast Avenue.
I've got a prepared statement. I'll drop it off for Debbie and ask that she makes a copy of it for each of you to review in case you have any questions. But before I begin on that, there's been several times in the recent past where it's referenced to TIF funds being used. So that's my recollection. That is not free money, but it's bandied about as if it is. So when that phrase is used, it's not free money, unless somebody could prove it to be otherwise. Anyhow, let's see, I have a prepared statement. And once again, we have a little history, but I hope you'll bear with me because you'll see where I'm going with it. And I have a big, big question regarding this item. The question is 3 minutes long. Why? Alloway is 143 years old as a local government, 30 years as a village, and 113 years as a town. It was created by detaching it from Bellevue in 1873. Some historians claim that this community, geographically, is the second oldest non-Native American settlement in the United States west of Lake Michigan. For a long time, Alloway had been a quiet residential community with above average local government services, and up until about 20 years ago, a very low tax rate. This geographical area has not changed since 1964, when a small part was annexed by the city of De Pere. The current population is almost the same as it was 50 years ago. Now that's the end of the historical part. Why then the sudden and expensive proposal to identify Alloway and some of its facilities? What will it gain for us and for whom? Now that's, I'd like an answer to that tonight.
Okay.
The proposed signing and other ID has a cost exceeding $200,000, not $100,000. I've added it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm totally opposed to this idea, and this money could much better be used to restore some services that have been reduced, such as winter brush pickup and school out sidewalk snow plowing. I have not attended any of your budget review sessions, but I don't think that has changed, and I'm sure you have agonized over $500 items during that process. And now you're talking $200,000 for signing. Makes no sense to me. Very frankly, I have to say, if the village board approves this proposal, I will feel obligated to initiate and participate in citizen action to try and stop it from moving forward. Back in 1837, a statesman named John O'Sullivan said that government is best that governs least. And I have adhered to that principle throughout my governmental service life. Last week's election results appear to show that American citizens want less governmental intrusion in their lives. This science proposal kind of fits into that intrusion category, as far as I'm concerned. Simply put, the proposal is totally unnecessary and a complete waste of taxpayers' money. And somebody's going to have to convince me otherwise. I'll stand here and wait for the justifications.
Okay. Would anyone like to address Clarence on this?
I will. And thank you for your words and for your passion. The answer to why is because in part it's in the comprehensive plan. It was an idea brought up through the public meetings, and there's an interest from those meetings. There's an interest in showing our pride in Alloway, showing our character of Alloway, and one group asked that we consider painting the water tower, and that cost a lot of money, right?
I know.
So I think through the meetings, and this is my opinion, Clarence, but through all of those meetings, it was identified that we want to be a community where we have a brand, right? And people know that they're in Alloway and that they're not in Green Bay or De Pere or Bellevue or anywhere else, because we want to attract people to Alloway. We want people to come and want to live here. And if you go around other communities and they have those and you have these streetscapes, they're beautiful communities. And so beautiful communities tend to encourage people to move in, to attract people. They see things going on.
With all due respect, I've never seen that being a problem in this community. We've always been attracted to people. It's always been known as a nice place to live. That's the fact that it used to be on my business card.
And I don't disagree. That's why I live here.
So why do you have to spend money to try and enhance it? If it's working, why try and fix it? If it's not broken? That, I don't understand that.
President Raptor.
And I'm not dumb.
Can I throw out my two cents as well, if you don't mind?
Sure, please.
I will reiterate some of what President Raptor said about the feedback we got during the public meetings for identifying when I'm in Alloway. You get people say, oh, I didn't know this part was Alloway. You have so much history with this village. You know it inside and out. I think we have, I got more than one comment to myself about not knowing when I'm inside, when I'm outside. How do I identify Alloway? And this gives us that one chance to identify when you're in, when you're out. But in coordination with that, as Chris mentioned, we have old signs for the parks that need to be replaced. We also have inconsistencies with all of those signs. Part of it is to give us the ability to replace those signs, have them all look the same. One of the things that Alloway is identified with is the park system. If we show that continuity, that high class, so to speak, I think that does something else to enhance the enhance the village as a whole. Those are just some of the things that I've thought about as I've looked at this. And also the $200,000 is a nice chunk of change as well. I know we want to take care of as much as we can as soon as we can, but we're also trying to look at spreading it out so that that 200 some thousand dollars wouldn't be spent within the first 18 months. It does get spread out. So it trying to balance all those things. I think you've seen, I questioned plenty of things in terms of dollars on the meetings, and that's what we're trying to balance both of those things. What can help the village and what is going to be a substantial cost for the village.
Your numbers were a man like myself to prevent me from having to come out of retirement to do it. Why didn't you do some investigating how you could do it cheaper? Because I think you should be able to do that, number one, if you're bound and determined that you're going to do it. Relative to your reference to comprehensive plan, they are plans. They are adopted. They are sometimes they are very rarely implemented, at least in total. As an example, a prime example, I think I told Trevor the story before. The first one we had was in 1969, shortly after I came here. You know what the one proposal was in there? Roselawn is in a very bad place. Move it over. You and I, how would you do that, Greg? So you get blue sky proposals on plans many times. So you can't just always just accept them at face value.
I agree with you. And regarding the community meetings that we held, and you were at a lot of them as well, right? And I heard Alloway's starting to look old. It needs a facelift. And that's from people who live here and love it. So that in part is part of it. We also have a community to the north and a community to the south of us that are doing the very same things.
But that doesn't make it right.
Doesn't make it right, but it also could make it look like Alloway's getting old, not looking it, not investing in it.
I'm not making an accusation here, but again, through my experience of all the years, many times these kinds of proposals in other communities, and including signing, you know, are self-gratification on the people doing them, and the politicians for that matter. So you have to bear that in mind as well.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. What's something else to say just a moment? It was on the letter, but. Well, apparently I'm not going to convince you, not even to the point of having to delegate an action on it, to study it further. I'd be happy to sit down with you at any length to discuss it in much more depth of the whys and the wherefores of what you need and what you don't need, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that a majority of the citizens in this committee think this is that necessary for 200,000. I just think of the things that have not been done, or have been delayed, or you're not going to do with that kind of money. And I can just think of many more higher priorities in signing this community.
Okay. I like your idea of doing everything we can to get it for as cheap as possible, right? To look at competitive bids and all that. Yeah. I think that's an excellent comment.
Yeah, well, the ones that we have, I'm not saying they were the best, but they served the purpose, and they were done by our people. Dave Disher, I think, did them with the runner.
Maybe we could talk Dave into doing it again.
And the one in front of the community center, I had the reformatory do that. They did that for us. And first of all, they're cheap. Believe it or not, with my really pretty good memory, I think, I don't know if they ever built us for it.
So if don't ask.
That would be the best way to do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I thank you, sir. Sincerely.
I think our intent here is to approve the design concept, correct?
I think that's what we're being asked to approve.
Yeah. And then down the road, look at how many and how often and at what cost and yada, yada. But I think it really is a community image kind of a thing. And I think we all could give some examples of communities where they have a developed signage plan. And you can tell. Sometimes it's kind of subtle. It doesn't jump out at you, but it does make you realize where you are and what you're doing and all the rest. So, and I think it was an excellent point that Matthew said about having to replace existing signs already. So with this, we can come up with the concept and then move it forward over a period of time. I would support that.
Clarence, do you like the designs they picked?
They're not bad.
Okay.
I just don't like the cost.
No, I understand that, and I appreciate that. What we're being asked once again to do tonight is really to approve the design. And going forward, any dollars that are spent are subject to review, right? And I think your point's well taken that we should make sure that we're getting the best price possible if we do implement the program. So thank you for that. Okay.
Mr. President, I live in an older house, and I had to have my awnings replaced. I didn't want to have to replace them. It was $1,400. They've been in there probably about 20 years. And it was not my idea to replace them, so they needed to be replaced because the house did look shabby. And the same thing is true for our community as well, and I know we've said that. And we should look at the cost, and we should do it as a slowly progressive kind of thing to make sure that we're not just wasting money, that it should be something that we logically walk our way through. And this is really just the first step in that process. And we have to keep that in mind, that we will be doing this, reviewing it, proving what we see. And we're not saying every sign everywhere on that map is going up all in 1 week. It's not going to happen. And we have to keep that in mind, that it is something that we may look at it and decide, you know what, we really don't need all that. Or we may stretch it out over a period of time, such as with the kayak launch site. So it's just something to keep in mind.
Thank you.
If I may, I forgot to do this again.
Okay, come on up. And by the way, you are correct. TIF money is not free money.
Okay. And the other part
of it was we'd have a lot more of it.
The other thing that occurred to me, why should I worry? I'll be dead when half of the signs are off.
because you care, Clarence.
You thought.
And you're not going anywhere. Lynn, did you have something to say?
I was going to say, actually, the reformatory, and we all toured the reformatory, and their bricklaying shop, and their pouring of concrete, and quite impressed by what they've been able to build in a shop there. So, and they are part of our community. So I have to admit, I didn't even think about them for signage, but I wonder if, Clarence, you have a very good point about, you know, could the reformatory possibly make signs? I just, it's something to ask.
Mm-hmm. Ingenuity, right?
Yeah.
They might be able to do everything except the actual logo painting. Mm-hmm.
They might like to get out and put the signs up.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so the question on the table is the design, and we have been offered from the Parks and Rec Committee option 10 for the entrance signs and option C for the wayfinding signs. Do I have a motion on this agenda item?
Motion.
Or option B.
It was B.
Is it B?
Yes, okay. But it's. I would really like to clarify how B and C differ, other than a huge price difference. And maybe lean towards C if there really is no significant difference.
Do you have any examples of C that are decked out? Okay.
Not at this time.
And is the vision for that pole to be stainless steel or?
It's a power coated steel sign.
Okay. What color would that be? Or?
I would suggest black. I always like the look of black.
Okay. Or blue. That's Alan's color.
So, Chris, the difference between those two is one of them, like, goes out sideways and one of them is on the front of the pole. Is that the difference?
That is correct, but with those type of signs, I believe, you know, they could be mounted on the front of the pole.
It could be either way.
Exactly.
Could it still have the same curve on the top in that other design? Because if we go with 10, it has the curve, and it would be nice to have the continuity of that curve design.
Yeah, I believe that that would not be a far stretch to, you know, get that look.
And life expectancy is still 20 years on both B and C?
Yes, yeah. The types of material that they're made out of, it's a plastic-coated aluminum type of a sign.
One thing I thought of when I looked at option B versus C, okay, so it's 8 feet. Option C is 8 feet above ground, right? It's a 10-foot pole with 2 feet underneath, and then the other one's 86 inches, so that's shorter.
8 inches.
Yeah,
oh, not that much. Foot, 8 inches.
Okay. Okay.
Again, and this is just personal preference, but if we look at those two designs, but look at B and look at number 10, and you see the outline on the top of Kayaker's Point being a lighter color, wouldn't it lend itself to more continuity if we did it with that darker color blue that's on the wayfinding signs? I think it would just accent it more. Again, that's just a personal preference, and what I really want to see is the continuity of the color and the design carried through the whole village. And I just think that might lend itself a little bit more to continuity.
And it looks like the colors on option B has, I'm guessing, a green outline with a dark blue. Was that the intention, do you know?
Yeah, if it could be the same.
And if that could be the same, I would agree with you. And your preference is the dark versus the light?
I think it stands out better.
Does that make sense, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have a motion on this item? Trustee Dart, do we have a motion on this item?
I would make a motion to move forward based on the recommendations that we've looked at on the sign design.
C or B?
C.
The C?
Yeah. I like the idea of maybe even trying to put that arc on the C.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of round that top edge off.
Okay, so this one.
Yep. It would be more like this.
Put the B sign in the C pole.
That's right.
That's well stated.
Does the board like that side mounting or the front mounting?
I prefer the front.
I prefer the front.
So it's basically giving us the same thing for less money.
Wow. I'm hoping so.
It is, isn't it? Because it's
yeah, you're getting 3-1.
Yeah.
So basically, it's the pole, the cost of the pole. But, okay, so we have an option, or we have a...
I will second Trustee Rob over there.
So that's for option 10 for the entrance signs and option C for the wayfinding signs.
With the modification.
With the B.
With the modification.
The C design with the B design in it.
There you
one,
go.
One last question. The Alloway logo, historically progressive on there?
That's
consistent, yeah.
I would like to see that.
Yeah, either with or without, one of the two.
I think it should be consistently or included.
Is that part of your motion, Mr. Atwood?
Sure.
I agree.
Just agree? Okay. Anything else we need to get in that motion? Okay, we have a motion on the table. Any discussion? I think it's been discussed. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Motion passes for the design only.
No money.
No money, Clarence.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to new business action item number 7, action regarding Public Works Committee minutes dated November 9th, 2016. Approval of Eller's proposal to serve as financial advisor to the village in connection with the issuance of the 2017 GO bonds. Mr. Byrne, would you give us a quick update on that for the benefit of our audience? And would you like to turn the lights on, please?
For the 2017 bond issue, which includes the reconstruction project and a number of other things, to proceed early next year with the work that we need to do to issue, obtain bond funding, we need to retain advisory, financial advisory services to assist us in doing that. And basically what they do is they prepare the initial information, the prospectus, they analyze the finances, they give us a projection of the costs and how it impacts all the utilities and the tax levy. They prepare the documentation that's needed when we have the project bid and the other costs associated with the other expenditures. They roll that into the final bond issue, and then they proceed with negotiating the sale. The actual sale of bonds would be probably in May, and in June we would have the finances available then to use in support of the expenditures. From the standpoint of working with bond advisory services, we've used Ehlers in the past. They did our first major bond issue for reconstruction. They're also the financial consultant for your TIF district. They have done a good job for us. That's why we went to them for this proposal. The cost of this proposal is about $400 or $500 more than what it was 5 years ago when we did the major bond issuance. So it's very comparable in cost. So the recommendation from staff to the Works Committee was to retain Ehlers for this project. And the Public Works Committee is making that recommendation to the board. So it's a quality-based selection based on the past services, and we feel it represents the best approach for the village.
And the bond that we're going after is approximately how much?
I believe that with all of the expenditures for 2017 and 2018, it's about $2.75 million total. I believe it's in that range, plus or minus.
Okay, thanks. And the proposal is for a project not to exceed $17,400. Okay, so it may be less. For our audience, we borrow money to fix our roads, and that's what we're doing right now. And we're hiring someone to help us do that effectively. Okay, do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrick.
I would move to approve the Ehlers proposal to serve as financial advisor to the village in connection with the issuance of 2017 GO bonds, as recommended by Public Works and staff.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Green.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? I would concur. I've had the pleasure to work with the Ehlers group and find them to be quality people. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Item number 8, update regarding the old Village Hall property. Mr. Lang.
Yes.
I'll just give a quick introduction. The Village Hall site, as many of us know, has been for sale for a long time. It's a piece of property up on Webster, about 2 acres in size. And before we built this building, the Village Hall was on Webster. And it's been vacant for many years, and we've been trying to encourage businesses to come in. We recently had a program going, and Mr. Lang will give us an update.
Yes, for the last several months, we have been working with a potential developer on a high-end apartment complex on that particular site. And that was the reason for a lot of the closed sessions. It was the developer's agreement that we have been working on for several months, trying to come up with what is in the best interest of the village. Within that discussion, it was necessary for us, if we were to move forward with the project, we needed to have an updated assessment, environmental assessment done on the property in order to qualify for brownfield funding. It's up to $500,000, but typically it's probably less than that. What was discovered in the environmental assessment, if we were to do more of a slab construction project, we're looking at roughly $500,000 in environmental cleanup. If we are below grade, such as this project that we were working on, included some underground parking, that environmental impact, the environmental costs were roughly $1 to $1.2 million. So the property itself is causing us some major obstacles and challenges that we're trying to overcome. The development that we were working on, for the lack of a better term, fell apart when the assessment, which the assessor believed, or the assessment we got for the project was around the $10 million value, and the developer was more in the $12 million value. So we're about $2 million difference in the assessed value, which is quite significant. Especially when it is in the TIF district and they were looking for incentives to make this happen. And we just couldn't come to terms with what was in the best interest of the community. So at the end of the day, with that $2 million separation, caused the project at this point to go away. It's unfortunate. It's something that was identified in the corridor study as certainly a potential for that area, and we're going to continue to work forward. We want the developers to know that we are very interested in something can happen on that site. It is zoned village owned, so there is a process that they do have to go through when we're looking at changing the zoning, whatever it is going to be. In the December 6th meeting, Trevor and I are planning on doing a presentation to the board, kind of walking through a little bit of the history of the site, what may have been the cause for some of the contaminations of the site. For some of you that didn't know, the old Village Hall site was a landfill. Part of it was a landfill. The north section of that property is deemed as a historic landfill, which causes some major issues when you're looking at doing reconstruction. And then near the center of the property is an oil plume. Whether or not that came from village functions or previous functions, we don't know, but we have to deal with it. So those are some of the obstacles. So what we want to do on the December 6th meeting is kind of walk through a little bit of the history of the site, when the village purchased the site, when we raised the facility, and I know that was brought up, we thought, it was brought up by Clarence, wondering if, thinking that the environmental aspect was taken care of when it was raised, when it wasn't. It was capped, and that's where we're sitting today. But we also want to start to go through what has this property cost the village in lost taxes. How we need to look at the project to make sure it makes sense for the village. If there are environmental impacts or environmental fees that we're going to be associated with, what is the payback? What is the long-term payback? We've got about 20, 22 years left in our TIF district, so we have to find a project that is paying itself back if there's an investment from the village. We're finding that, for the most part, it's very difficult or very unlikely, except, or basically in our situation, that someone is going to come to us and just say, I want to build. They are going to be looking for incentives. And that is something that, when we're talking about incentives, if it's a $10 million project and the developer is saying, I'll do this project if you give me 10% or $1 million, how does that payback come to the community? How do we get that $1 million back? Then if we have to throw in additional funds for the environmental cleanup, say it's a $500,000 or $1 million or three quarters, whatever the dollar figure is, are we getting that feedback again within a specific time period? So that's where we're at. It's unfortunate. There's been some other projects that have knocked on the door that typically just or physically just don't work financially, because of the environmental concerns and issues that we have to deal with. So we're, you know, this $10 million, $12 million project, whatever it would have come out to be, would have put us in a position where we felt that it was going to be a good investment of public funds with a payback with many more positives than there were negatives. So that's where we're at.
Thank you.
If it's okay with the board, I'll suspend the rules.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Clarence, come on up.
Number one, can you give me some indication why remedial action is so expensive? It appears to me the numbers you're banging about, they could go in and dig it all out 20 foot deep and haul it away.
That's
the expense.
That's the expense.
It's the tipping fees back in.
It's the tipping fees. Tipping fees are very expensive.
Oh, that part? The other part makes sense. Okay. What kind of sales price were you looking at?
Well, the property is listed at
$450,000.
Yes.
Okay.
But then you could have a developer that could come through the door and say, you know, I want the property. I will develop the property, but I don't want to pay for the property either. So that's, again, part of the incentive aspect, which is not uncommon. And that was just across the river from us.
Clarence, we are looking to invest about $2 million to help that developer come in.
Additionally.
And the good news is, based on the tax revenue, we would have got all that money back and had a beautiful structure with a lot of new residents and a tax revenue stream for the rest of all time. The problem, and that's where what Brad was saying, we have to make sure that it makes, if we're going to invest, we have to make sure it has that financial, makes financial sense.
I understand that part about that. I just think back in the history of seeing that for 11 years, I think there was an opportunity prior, maybe you were on the board, nobody else was, where they could have sold it. And I guess they had some severe restrictions, but there was no interest. It's a missed opportunity. That disturbs me a lot.
Well, I've heard of a few of the previous plans, and I guarantee, based on what we know now about the land and the cost to remediate that property, they would have never worked out. Never. Based on what they wanted to build and what they wanted in return. Developers, you know, because there are so many communities wanting to build today, you have developers coming in saying, I want 30%.
There was The only thing that Bill Sweezy and I ever agreed on is that selling as is way back when, and the board refused to consider that.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity. Okay, thanks.
We're doing our best.
Yeah, I know that.
And I know there was a lot of concern over closed meetings. Every meeting we had, we don't have, I came to this realization the other day, Green Bay has a regional development authority. De Pere has a regional development authority. And those are the groups that go through this process initially with the developers to come up with the initial plan. We don't have that. We are your RDA. And so we have to hold these meetings in closed session, or we feel it's appropriate to, because we're negotiating.
Given all that's occurred, have you considered this, that even though we're going to continue to want?
Well, we get zero tax dollars, and we continue to raise taxes, and you don't like that.
I know, but it's going to take a long time to recover at $2 million. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we'll get it. Yeah. Well, we're not giving it away anymore, so.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the property is for sale today.
Yeah, it's for sale.
It's always been for sale. If someone came and made an offer to the village to buy the property, we're all ears for them.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Come on up, Jim.
I didn't know if you'd seen him.
Oh, okay.
Jim, you hit the nail on the head. Regional Development Authority is the correct way that you do these things in secret. If you don't have an RDA, you're required to do them in public. You're not allowed to have the closed meetings. Thanks.
Any other comments from the community? Okay. So are we having fun, Boy Scouts? Good. Okay, any questions for Brad from the board? Do any of our Boy Scouts have questions? No? You want to build us a building on our own village hall property?
Yeah, what a camp.
Yeah, a camp.
Urban camp.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, before we go into closed, because we're going to be gone, maybe open it up for, if you guys have any questions about anything, just an idea, because otherwise by the time we come back.
You read my mind.
Okay,
first, first, I wanted to thank Brad for that update, and I look forward to the more comprehensive update on the history of the property for the benefit of the village.
And when we do go into closed session, it's only going to be a few minutes, so we'll just excuse ourselves and come back into this room.
Okay. If the board doesn't mind, let's open it up to the Boy Scouts.
For no other reason but in opinion, should we adjourn the meeting and then open it up to the Boy Scouts? Or do we want it a part of the official meeting?
Let's make it part of the
meeting. All right.
Unless you don't want it. But do you guys have any questions? All right. Come on up, sir.
You're good. Yeah, you're good.
You get to give us your name and your address, if you don't mind, and your rank.
I'm Connor Holly, and I live in Prescott Court 3958. I always wondered, like, what happens if a crisis situation comes?
What kind of a crisis might it be?
Any.
Okay. Mr. Lang, would you like to answer that?
Yes, I can certainly do that. That's a good question.
Good question, Connor.
I believe it's about a year ago we finally adopted an emergency response plan. And what we end up doing is Brown County Emergency Management come in and oversee all the operations. So we work very closely with Brown County Emergency Management, and that's what they're trained in, disasters and emergency situations, as well as our Brown County Sheriff's Department and the Green Bay Fire Department, the Metro Fire Department. They kind of take over. The village board would be informed if it was a tornado or some sort of a disaster. And the village president, which is President Rafter, kind of helps oversee all the components, making sure that the street department, as well as myself, Chris, the parks director, Debbie, the village park treasurer, she has the ability to release emergency funds in the event that we need to expend some money. So it's a collaboration of a lot of different agencies that come together to help set up a disaster recovery. And a lot of times they would possibly use the village hall or the fire department on Dauphin Street as the headquarters. That's this very question. Hopefully I answered it. If you have any more questions, I can certainly share the plan with you.
Yeah, I got another question. What do you guys do with the clown situation?
With the clown situation?
Yeah.
Thankfully, I don't think we've had to do anything. But, Mr. Lang, would you like to address that?
I don't think we've had any.
Yeah, to our DEO.
I think we do. We would have extra patrol in the neighborhoods and everything else and take a report from the person who did have the sighting or harassment experience. And we'd certainly patrol those areas and ask the neighbors and try to get as much intel as we can and to try to identify that person as best we can.
The worst we've had is someone walking their dog dressed as the abominable snowman.
Did you see that a couple of years ago?
No.
That was well received.
Yeah. It was a nice person does that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Connor. Any other questions from our Boy Scouts? I see a willing person.
Hi, I'm Sam Magowski. I live in Ledgeview, so I don't live in Alloway.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
We check your signs. You'll come.
Oh, yeah. 729 Iron Horse Way. And I have a question about, so say there's like an escaped convict from the prison that gets out, or like a murder, what would be going on in the neighborhood if there was someone and he was sighted in this area?
Good question, Sam. DEO?
We definitely have Brawl County Sheriff's Department and probably more multiple jurisdictions appear to be a Green Bay. We'd be combing the area and everything else to apprehend that person who did escape in the quickest manner of time that we had. And I would assume Department of Justice would be sending guys. Well, we've even worked with the FBI on some cases here recently. That would send help and everything else. So it'd be a multi-jurisdictional incident where we try to apprehend the suspect as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you.
There was a situation a couple years ago where some gentlemen from the correctional facility had taken dental floss that they purchased and they made a twine rope, which they then used to escape from the facility.
It was in the county jail.
No, this was out at the federal prison out here because we had people come to our door and knock on our door and tell us that, you know.
They were escaped here?
Yep, that was back probably, let's see, it's got to be at least 10 years ago now, if not more than that.
The last one was almost 40 years ago.
Well, they didn't get very far. That's the point of the story, is that they had gotten over to what they thought was the first wall to be able to get out, and they were detained almost immediately.
And this young man's got it for today. Tell him kind of a funny little story if we're going to do this kind of murder.
Absolutely.
About that 40-year-old time, there was a proposal to reduce the number of guard towers and guards in them, and the guards naturally were protesting. They came to the town board, and he was still a town at that time. So we heard their views and their concerns. And the warden and the deputy warden were here, and they went on to call the safety arm. And there had not been an escape in, I forget, 18 billion years. Guess what happened the very next night? You guys got off.
So let's not say anything.
Yeah.
Mr. President, for the record, is it possible to identify who the other remaining members of the troop are and their leaders? I think you have it on the record that they were here in attendance.
If they are willing to introduce themselves, I think that would be great. Do you guys like to come up and just introduce yourselves real quick?
Go ahead, one at a time. Come on up.
Future leaders of our community, we want to know you.
Okay. You can ask a question, too.
My name is Will Washtrat, and I live on 328 Custer Court. My question is, say there's a tornado, or like a blizzard, and knocks down all of the power in Alloway for like a few days. What would happen to all the stores and businesses like that require power?
That's a great question, Will. Mr. Burke, would you like to answer that question? He's our Director of Public Works.
I would assume that, that there are some of the smaller commercial businesses and so forth that probably do not have emergency power supply, but all of the larger stores, hospitals, all the larger commercial entities, they do have emergency power supply, as does the Village of Alloway with all of our utilities and our facilities. So most of the larger facilities would go on emergency power. Our experience with that type of event, although smaller and not in a full village-wide scale in the past, is that Wisconsin Public Service is very responsive, and they also bring in support from other utilities. And usually within a matter of 24 hours, they'd have most of the power restored throughout the village. And that's worked well when we've had emergencies in the past. Wisconsin Public Service does the same thing. When there's an emergency down south, some of the flooding that you saw, they send crews down there to help. So that's a joint agreement that exists among the utilities to help each other out. So if we had a major emergency, we would get a lot of help.
Does that answer your question? Thanks, Will.
Thank you.
If I could just add a few more things to that.
Sure.
The Red Cross gets involved right away. And they have a big volunteer list that they start calling. They start to set up emergency housing, food, shelters. So it's a big cooperation by a lot of different individuals, and a lot of them are volunteers. So it's, I think we have ham radio operators, mm-hmm. and it's the airwaves and everything else. So good question.
Thanks, Will. Who else? There we go.
My name is Adam Bredo. I live on 700 Terrible Drive. And I have a question, like, say, who controls, like, or who works, like, the snow plows? Because they don't have, like, I don't think they have one person or a group have a daily shift or a whole shift.
Good question. Mr. Byrne.
Our snow plowing operations, when we have a major storm event, we have a fairly large crew that comes in to snowplow. We have one individual that manages all of the snowplow operations, oversees what goes on, travels around the village to check to make sure things are going well. We'll mobilize usually eight snowplows in a major storm. We do coordinate with the Brown County Highway Department as well, because they plow some of the roads in Alloway. So we do coordinate with them, so that we don't do double duty on the same streets. But it is a coordinated effort, and we unlike most other communities, we snowplow at night. So as soon as that storm is over, we start snowplowing so that by morning, most of the roads are cleared. A lot of communities snowplow just during the day. It takes you about twice as long, and you're dealing with traffic. So we do a lot of our snowplowing off hours. We find that that's more efficient for us. But it is a very coordinated effort, no question about it.
Did that help? Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
Mr. President, in reference back to those people that did the escape, it was on December the 29th of 1997, inmates Dunwald and Dummer were the D-U-M-M-E-R, and I'm sorry, that's not Dunn and Dummer, but that's what their names were. So, and also in regards to the signs, the Green Bay Correctional Facility no longer does signs. They will do engraving. Actual signs are made in La Pond.
Thank you, Trustee Dennis, for your historical research. Do we have any other Boy Scouts who would like to speak?
Or be identified.
Or be identified. Or introduce yourselves. We've got a Boy Scout to be in the back. Would he like to introduce himself?
Hi, I'm Braden Kurtzen. I live on 622 Craignan Street.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Do you have any questions?
No.
Have you enjoyed yourself tonight?
Yeah, we actually just had a basketball game right before this.
Did you?
Yeah, we lost.
Sorry. Well, you know what the Cubs say, there's always next time. And they're right sometimes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
His grandfather was a politician, and he has nothing to say.
Oh, really? Now you get to tell him. Here we go.
Future.
Come on up, sir. Oh, you can go right up to him if you want.
That's okay. Hello, my name is Eddie, and I'm a bobcat.
Right. Hello, Eddie. Thank you for
Welcome.
Coming.
We have one
up
more.
And introduce yourself.
I'm Sam Dovenin. I'm from 3100 Stanford.
Hi, Sam. Thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you.
Did you learn anything?
Sure.
I won't test you, I promise. Well, thank you.
Thanks for coming.
And who are the troop leaders?
If they had to come up, you have to come
up. He's not a pretty.
Yeah, your daddy can come up too.
Mark Dornan, 3100 Stanton Court.
And Mark?
Related to Sam. And appreciate you guys taking time out for the scouts.
Well, thank you for coming tonight. We appreciate
you.
And I'm Steve Breda, 700 Terraview Drive. I'm Adam's father. And again, I would like to thank the board and all of the visitors for tolerating us and giving us your time tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Our pleasure.
You. And Dan, thanks for coming. All to the Boy Scouts, thank you. After that fun, I will accept the motion to adjourn.
No.
Or no, how about close. Moving into closed session? Every once in a while we have to go into closed session to discuss something. So do I have a motion to convene in the closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.851E, deliberating or negotiating the sale of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session? Specifically, 535 Green Avenue and 3241 and 3245 Riverside Drive, and Wisconsin Statute 19.851C, considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility, specifically employee reviews. Trustee Green.
So moved.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by... Oh, roll call. Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrich.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dirk.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Dennis.
Aye.
We are in place.